Hello, and welcome to the Learning Made podcast, where we speak to subject matter experts in the fields of education, education technology, and workforce development to learn more about advances and issues in the industry from cradle to career. I'm your host, Shannon Gattins. Today, we're speaking with Josh Richards, the CEO of Boundless Learning. With over 20 years of experience in technology and education, including leadership roles at Pearson, formerly Chief Product and Technology Officer, he helped launch Boundless as a standalone company and now leads its growth and innovation. In this episode, we will discuss how Boundless Learning is using data and technology to personalize education in meaningful ways. We'll explore the true personalization looks like in higher ed and how institutions can responsibly leverage student data and the innovations shaping the future of learning. Welcome, Josh.
Thank you. Appreciate being here today.
Thank you so much for joining us on this very hot day in New Jersey on June 24th, so we can keep it in history. To start off, can you tell us a little bit about Boundless Learning and what drew you personally to begin doing the work you're doing?
Sure, absolutely. So once again, thanks for having me here today, Shannon. Really appreciate the ability to have this conversation. I also want to say a big thank you to Learning Mate as well. You all have done a lot in our industry and continue to drive with innovation. And I know we've worked on some great projects together, so just look forward to some more collaboration there as well. For those of you that don't know us, Boundless Learning is an online learning solutions organization. We've been in the industry for over 30 years and was one of the pioneers that started what we call online program management. And really what we do is we partner with academic and corporate institutions to help develop online learning experiences and programs. Through the course of our history, we've launched over 450 online programs. We've touched over 17,000 learners in over 150 countries, and we continue to innovate and sort of change what the model looks like. As you had mentioned, we were a division of Pearson. We were called Pearson Online Learning Services. But this July, we're going to celebrate our two-year anniversary. We're going to be 2 years as Boundless Learning, which is an independent company. And that's been a really exciting thing that's drawn me to Boundless Learning and what it is we're looking to accomplish. So I feel, you know, 20 years in the education industry, like you described, I've got a real vested interest in making sure that we continue to drive really positive things in this industry and really create experiences that match what people are expecting. So I'm just excited to be leading during this time. I'm seeing how technology and a strong set of products and services can really make a difference. And for us, we just want to make sure that people have the opportunities that they need to advance their lives and sort of continue to develop in a way that's meaningful to them. So our mission really just centers around expanded access to education. And that is through personalization, learner-centric experience, and we believe that fosters economic mobility and lifelong growth as well.
Congratulations on 2 years. That's a big milestone. I hope you guys are celebrating in some fun ways.
Got some birthday parties planned and some other cool stuff around our offices. So yes, thank you.
I mean, it's a tough time for all of us. I think that technology is one place, as you said, that LearningMate is actually excelling and finding more opportunities. And so you've talked about the power of technology in transforming education when we spoke previously. What was your aha moment when you realized just how impactful technology and how it influences personalized learning could be for students?
So I think the aha moment for me is when we look at the data, and for us, the data tells us that out of the online programs that we manage with partners, our graduation rate is 95%, or our retention rate is 95%. And to me, that's outstanding. And that's a way of saying, hey, you know what? The things that we're doing are the right thing. So our learners in general don't always have the easiest paths. In a lot of cases, they're adult learners. They're doing this as secondary to their careers and their families. So they've got a lot of different factors that they have to balance and you know, a lot of different things they need to do to accomplish their goals. So knowing that they're getting the right attention from us and the right level of personalization and engagement is really important. And that's not just one thing, right? That's not just a single course or a single program or an engagement with a coach or an advisor. It's literally how all those things come together. So I think by keeping them engaged and helping usher them through their journey and hearing their story, that's really rewarding. That's like the aha moment. Like, okay, the people came, they got what they wanted, and now they're improving their lives. And we've got the data to prove that as well.
We'll dig in a little bit more on the data and technology side, but personalization. I remember talking about personalization when I was at Pearson many years ago. It's a buzzword in some ways, but from your perspective, what is the true meaning of personalization? What does it look like in a higher ed setting?
So to your point, it can be a buzzword, right? It's not just about seeing your name in an email or on your profile when you log in. Like, those are cool. Okay, welcome, Josh. Nice to see you. But it's really more about just connecting the experiences that you're having and connecting you with the information that you need when you need it. So to me, when I think about the start of a journey, it's making sure that the learner is communicated to in a way that resonates with them. So when they're making a choice, they feel comfortable with that choice. You're sort of honoring the promise to them that you also want to meet them where they want to be met. So we think about all the different channels that are available. That could be a phone call, it could be a virtual agent, an SMS, WhatsApp, email, or a combination of any of those things. Throughout all those stages, knowing when to contact the learner, knowing when to serve up the right information, knowing when to nudge them at a certain point in time, those all start to feel familiar and natural to the learner, so it doesn't feel forced. And to me, that's what personalization means. It means like you're being connected with at the right points in time in a way that doesn't feel forceful. And you're like, wow, I appreciated that interaction. I'm glad I got emailed during that time, or that instead of calling me 5 million times, they texted me because I know I'm busy. So to me, it's more about the way we're interacting as opposed to, like I said, you see your name somewhere and that feels personal to you.
So when you say that, what kind of information should institutions be paying attention to if they really do want to move past just tracking grades or logins? I mean, what is the information and data they should be looking at?
So I think for me, they need to pay attention to data that actually tells them something. So I know that seems sort of obvious, but in a lot of cases, people just collect data and they store it and they don't really know what to do with it. So it's really starting with the basics of how engaged they are with the advisor they're working with or the coach, and then how engaged they are with the course content and the institution overall. And there's different things that you can pick up from those interactions that become the data points that you use to see how effective things are. I think it's also really important to understand what their goals and aspirations are. So how do you collect that information as you go in a non-intrusive way? And how does that help you build the right cues for working with that particular learner to help them provide the support, like I mentioned earlier, you know, in the right modality, but also helping them make them feel accomplished as well. I think the other thing that's really important about the data that we should be paying attention to is just straight up feedback. So to me, it's really important to not just have an end of course survey, but to be really smart about how you gather intentional direct feedback as learners are going through their online experience. So that could be just asking a question midway through a particular chapter that they're, you know, reviewing in an online course, or popping up a prompt with how was your experience. But I think people are willing to give their feedback, so why not take it and use that as a really informative data point as well?
Yeah, that's very good advice. I'm just thinking, do you have an example or a tangible success story that you can give us, either through Boundless or before it was Boundless, you know, Pearson, or any time throughout your career where you can pinpoint, yes, that technology that led to that data collection, that led to this, that led to the personalization and then the success of a student?
So I'll keep it relatively high level, but a specific for us, we use a tool called Observe AI. And what that allows us to do is monitor the interactions between our employees and our learners. And when I say that, what I mean is it's able to analyze things like what's the sentiment or the tone of a particular exchange that we're having. Is the brand value coming across? Are we using the right words at that time? Is that person responding that they're getting the help they need, or is there a drop-off point? So what we've been able to do is take all that information and actually say, hey, you know what? There are some areas that maybe are deficient, or maybe we're not saying the right things at the right time. And we're able to turn that back into something personal, if you will, where we're coaching people to it. So maybe it's a particular script or way of talking that gets updated, or maybe it's an individual that just needs a different prompt. But we've been able to take that information, gain insights, and do that into like a feedback cycle where we're actually proactively updating our materials in the way that we're having our folks interact with other individuals. But then at the end of all that, I mentioned surveys earlier, we do have survey points as well during the interactions that you have with us. So what that allows us to do is take the results of, hey, we changed X, Y, and Z based upon this experience we've seen with Observe AI. Now we're asking how the experience was, and we're actually seeing greater outcomes as a result. So it's sort of a full circle analysis to change to actual proof that what we did made a difference. So to me, that's been an area where we see direct input from learner experience that monitors more than just a quick conversation. It looks at so many different aspects of it. It allows us to change the way that we behave.
That was really helpful. And I think that both at an institution level, but also at an organizational level, it sounds like that could be a really useful approach. I'm thinking about the ideal student experience using technology and data as you've seen it. What would that look like?
So I think that the most important thing is to literally just map out what the full life cycle is supposed to look like and the different touch points as a result. But from the start, you really want to understand, and I've said this a few moments ago, like, what is it that they want to accomplish and what's going to motivate them? So having that as the foundational point, not just throwing programmatic information to their face, but interacting and saying, hey, what is it you want to accomplish today? That allows you to start a really positive journey and interaction with that particular learner that helps start to take away some of the uncertainty they might have around enrolling in a program or taking that online course. And then from there, it's, hey, how do you create excitement? So they've decided they want to sign up and they've gone through the process, which can be pretty heavy in certain circumstances. What's the payoff? And that comes through, you know what? We're going to create this experience now that's going to welcome you. We're going to create email journeys, partner or learner outreach, things along those lines. That's going to help take away some of the trepidation and actually build some excitement that says, okay, I'm moving into the next phase. I signed up and now I'm getting into it. And you're making my concerns sort of fade away. And there's now confidence that this is the right thing for me. And then from there, it's about not only learning, but retaining what you're learning and ultimately mastering that as well. I think a lot of us can read something, but just because we read it doesn't mean we get it. So how do we make sure that as part of a program, we're understanding, you know, where people are either dropping off or maybe struggling, how we're surfacing red flags, and how we're actively able to intervene and or celebrate. So when I say intervene, help somebody during a tough situation. When I say celebrate, they completed something. Let's make it feel like it was worth it for them, even if it's just the end of a course module or something along those lines. And then lastly, as part of that student experience, how do you get them to graduate? And how do you get them to carry that forward and really take a sense of pride and accomplishment in what they did, whether that be posting it on LinkedIn or getting excited about it and socializing that within their current employer? So I think throughout all those different steps from inception through completion, data helps drive that experience because it helps inform what interactions you're meant to have with them. And like I said, it could be intervention or it could be success, but either one of those warrant being able to collect the data and actually do something with it and sort of create that positive experience all the way through. And also recognize it's not one size fits all.
Going a little off script and just having a conversation, I'm just wondering how is an instructor involved and what is the interaction there? And then how is this a scalable model? Is this something that can stay personal, but be scalable? Like what's the balance that you can strike there?
So I think when we build our courses, we put in an analytics framework that runs across those courses. And what that means is you're actually able to see how long somebody's taking on something. And is there a point where a majority of people are maybe just dropping off or not finishing a module, or you do the assessment part and you're seeing there's a part of that where once again, there's a large percentage of people that perhaps are not getting it right. So to go to your question with the instructor, you take that back to the faculty and you say, look, there's something that's not right here. So how do we use this data to specifically change how we teach this one part of the course? Because I'm sure 95% of it's great, but you can see through the trends that, hey, maybe something's not right here. So then there's a really positive interaction that you have with the facilitator and the faculty and the instructional designer where you're trying to solve a problem and you're doing that because the data was able to tell you that because you built the course correctly with the right analytics framework built in. And then I think the second part of that is when it comes to like ongoing instructional design, just being very aware that the trends and the things that people are relating to change over time. So how do you make sure that your course design philosophy updates along with it as well, I guess.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, things are changing rapidly, as we all know. Speaking to that a little bit, is like there's always a fine balance between personalization, data, and then privacy. How can we kind of walk that line responsibly in, you know, ed tech?
So I think it's really critical to have a privacy infrastructure. And what that means is you've got strong access controls. You respect data privacy laws, which can be complicated. It can be different by country, by region, by state, whatever the case might be. But really taking the time and dedicating the resources to get those things right. It's not secondary. And then I think there's the ability to prove that you've done those things correctly. So that's through industry certifications like ISO certification, SOC certification. So I think there's sort of the playbook that you can use that says this is what good data privacy looks like. I think the other thing, like I mentioned, is internal awareness. So sure, it's great to have some internal expertise, but how do you launch a campaign internally that allows everybody that works in the organization or works for a university to understand what data they have access to, why it's important, and sort of what it is they can do with it and what it is that they can't do with it? I think there's another aspect, which is just transparency. So making sure that you've got the right privacy disclaimers where appropriate, making sure that the language you're using isn't all legal speak, but it's something that a potential learner or current learner can understand. They know what data privacy means to them with that program or with that institution that they're working with. And then, you know, there's a lot that's going on right now with AI, the big buzzword. How do you make sure you've got an ethical and transparent policy around AI? How do you make it so when a learner is interacting with AI, you're being visible about it? You're not hiding it. You say, yeah, you are working with AI. If you want to know what our AI policy is, click here. So you're not hiding it from them, I guess. And then you're also asking for consent at the right times as well. Can we use your information to do this? Can we email you? Can we text you? Things along those lines. And I think for a lot of people, ourselves included, handling data can feel pretty overwhelming. But I think if you can just be practical about it, get the right tools in place, put in the right focus, make it part of your discipline, it's something that doesn't really have to keep you up at night. And it becomes like, hey, we've got this. So I think there's a lot of tools out there to make it easier for us, especially in today's day and age. And it's just embracing those and treating it as primary, not secondary.
You talked about AI and just thought to ask, what's one like innovation in education right now that you are feeling really excited about?
So I think augmented or virtual reality to me is really exciting. I know that a lot of us think about VR headsets and things along those lines, and it seems like it's just something fun. Maybe you do it for recreational purposes in your free time, but I think about something like a virtual hands-on lab for an inspiring nurse or something along those lines. That's got the ability to make a huge impact on learners. And I think we're not quite there yet, but you're starting to see signs of life of it. I know that we're working on something in our space, particularly around nursing and as it relates to some of our courses. But I think that's really going to make a huge impact in the space. And if you just think about equity in education, being able to give someone a hand, you know, quote, hands-on experience from anywhere, that's huge. So I think over time, that's going to be more accessible. But to me, that's something that I think is really exciting because it's not static content. It's not watching a video. It's not even just assessment. It's feeling like you're in the room doing something. And I think that's critical. And I think that that's work that LearningMate's doing as well, right? You guys have some AR, VR type of stuff that you've been working on.
Yeah, it's funny that not the AR, VR necessarily, but my other hat in LearningMate is I run the content team. And it has three nursing specialists on staff. And we do a ton of nursing content development. And yesterday I interviewed Dr. Neal from DeVry. She's not a head of nursing there, but she does teach nursing courses and she's very invested in AI and nursing. And she said the same thing about virtual labs, that nursing and how it has to do with AI, because AI gives the student the opportunity to experience things obviously outside of a real live lab, and it creates a level of equity for students who are coming out of nursing school. So it's interesting that the two paths just crossed in a matter of 24 hours. So really fascinating.
I think it's interesting too, right? Because if you're in a virtual lab and you make a mistake, you can just start over again.
That's right.
It gives you the ability to quickly practice and realize the fault and go back and do it over and over again until you get it right. So I just think there's a lot of positivity to it.
No, that's right. And I think a lot of the labs that are taking place now have equipment, highly expensive equipment that sometimes can be faulty. And just the addition of this innovative use of technology can really replace some of that and some cost savings on the university side. So if you had a magic wand, what one thing would you change about how colleges serve students?
So honestly, I think it's been the theme of our conversation today.
Mm-hmm.
How do you make a personalized learning experience that isn't a one-size-fits-all approach? And I think it's something that has been an issue for learners in any form, whether you know you're in K-12 or higher education or an adult learner. We all don't learn the same way, and universities need to adapt to that. I think there's the motivation factor that we talked about as well. People have different motivations as to why they want to complete a course or why they want to finish their education. So how do you play into that? How do you motivate them in the right ways? Because one thing you might be doing for one person might not work for someone else. So I think all the things that we've been discussing today are really the key to making that differentiated online experience or even on-campus experience, because most on-campus experiences now have some form of online as part of it. It's just an expectation. So I think, you know, how can colleges really make that difference for their learners? It's to invest in some of the technology that we were talking about earlier. It's partner with the right institutions. It's create the right data structure and data foundation. Ask themselves the why. Why are we gathering this data? What we want to do with it? But I think that's it. I would wave my magic wand and it would be You go to college and it suits you exactly. It knows exactly what it is, that motivates you. It knows how to teach to you. It knows that maybe you like video, but you don't like reading. Who knows? But all those things come together and sort of you get a successful outcome that feels rewarding and doesn't feel forced.
So I just had my middle son graduate from high school. I had a college graduate the previous year, a high school graduate the previous year, and my daughter is going into high school. And the magic wand, I agree, would be to just personalize learning from the start, to get students engaged in learning and to make that the expectation so that each person can find their own path forward and there aren't barriers to entry of success. So I just could not agree more.
It's challenging, but I can see it happening in our lifetime where things become that personal. And that'll be exciting for people because it'll just open up pathways. And honestly, for people that don't even like education, which there's a lot of people that are just like just trying to make it through, it could change that for them as well, which I think would be exciting because it'd be great if everybody loved to learn and didn't feel put off by it.
Yeah, you said education. And I was thinking there's a difference between education and learning. Right. And if we could find that for young learners, that the expectation could be when they're in university, that it would just continue.
Yep.
So I appreciate that perspective. So do you have any final thoughts?
I would say my final thoughts are, let's see how we collectively can make a difference. The work that Learning Mate does, the work that Boundless Learning does. There's so many others in this field that we have great respect for. Let's make good on our promise. Let's make a difference in learning. Let's see how we can make it more personalized, do the things we just talked about with the magic wand. But to me, that's the closing thought is I think we're on the verge of doing some great things. And I think there's so much innovation happening in this space that let's accelerate it. Let's do it smart, which I think is important because it's one thing of being fast. It's another thing of taking the time to stage it out correctly. But yeah, my closing thought would be let's make a difference here and see what 10 years looks like from now. Maybe we'll reconvene at that point.
We should try to reconvene in a year because I bet a lot will change even within a year.
Probably right? 6 months. 10 years is a long stretch. You're right.
And so tell me, Josh, how can listeners connect with you or learn more about what you're building at Boundless?
Go to our website, boundlesslearning.com. We've got some really great folks on our team who have been building out a lot of content recently just to make sure that we're giving our perspective on the industry. So there's a lot of articles and blogs and things on there. And then you can find Boundless Learning on LinkedIn as well as myself, Joshua Richards on LinkedIn, happy to connect. But we do post a lot on LinkedIn as well, just sharing profiles of learners that we are helping and success stories, as well as highlighting some of the employees in our company and the great work that they're doing and how they're helping lead the innovation, because it doesn't just come from one place, it comes from everywhere in Boundless Learning.
Well, it was really, really nice talking to you. Thank you for taking the time.
Yeah, thank you. It's always fun to get together with you and look forward to doing it again. Thank you for the opportunity.
6 months.
6 months, that's right.